for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, March the 22nd, 2008. Clement Humbard is the speaker of this service, teaching on the death of death.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
The Lord would have me give you a message. This day I'm calling out my remnant. I'm calling you out from your places of safety. I'm calling you out from your hiding places. I'm calling you out to be bold, to step forward, to be seen, to be heard. I'm calling you out. Do not shrink back any longer. For this is the day that I have promised will come. I am preparing my remnant, but I'm asking you to step out. Step out boldly. Step out without fear. For I am not a spirit of fear, yes, but I am a spirit of love, yes, of power, and a sound mind. Be bold, my people. Be bold and step out without fear, without any tribulation, and know that I am your God. I am the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
And He didn't run and hide. And each one of you also are the same.
Lord, I just thank You, Lord, this morning for Your presence here. And Lord, as Your people give, Lord, that they'll sow with believing hearts, Lord, and expect to reap from having sown into this ministry, Lord. And Lord, as they sow towards healing and deliverance, Lord, may they reap healing and deliverance in their lives. Lord, and I just ask You to expand the spiritual horizons of everyone that sows this morning, Lord, and even those that are not able to, Lord, that they would receive the same blessing, Lord, as if they were able to. And, Lord, that everyone would reap and be blessed because of their investment in what You're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem so few, there is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone who cares, someone who shares all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky and wash the tears from your eyes. You're His child and He cares for you. When your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. In the feet a friend till the end, there is someone who cares for you. Someone who cares, someone who shares all your troubles like no other can do. Come down from the sky, wash the tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you. You're His child, and He cares for you.
Nobody cares. If you're married, you think my wife or my husband don't care.
That's a fact of life. But you've got to get it in this head. In here. That Jesus cares. Jesus cares. You know, there's... We all have problems and situations in life. And if you think living here, everything is a heaven on earth, well, to some of you who live here, it may kind of seem that way, but you follow Patty and I around for a couple of months, you'll find that it isn't always that way. And there are situations and problems that we have that are terrific. But that's just between us and God. It's not everybody else's business. But I have found something over the years of life that, if possible, a problem arises, if possible, forget about it for a while. Now that is, you can't always do that. Some things you have to say right now. But I found that if there's a problem and eventually it'll solve itself, or the Lord will give wisdom in what to do about it. That's just a little advice that has come my way over the years. Oh, Brother Clement, come and let me go sit down.
Praise God. Thank the Lord. Would you stand, please, with me? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." But he didn't stop there. He said this, "He that believeth in me," do we have any believers in this room today? "He that believeth, a believing obedience. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Do you believe in resurrection? But listen at the rest of it. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth." Is that us today? "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall..." What does it say? "Never die." Say it.
Never die.
Christians never die. The early church martyrs, the apostles, historically 11 of them, they never died. They were killed. They were martyred. But Christians never die. You remember a scripture in Revelation 20 chapter said, God Himself shall wipe away their tears from their eyes. He said there will be no more pain, no more crying, and no more death. My subject today is the death of death. I'm going to announce it again. Somebody get happy. Somebody say amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Death is not the final say. Thank you, Lord. We lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, the Lord God of Israel that never sleeps nor slumbers. Christians, look up and pray. Look up and pray. Look up and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thou art still on the throne, the God that was, is, forever shall be. King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am, the miracle worker, the lowly Savior, the suffering Savior, but the conqueror. Praise God. The resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. What you are, we are becoming.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are ever the silver cord rebroken or loosed, and the pitcher broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, Ecclesiastes 12th chapter. Then the dust shall return into dust from whence it came. But the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Under the natural, it's appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. But in the spiritual, believers never die. A few days ago, we went down to the management of the Aristocrat across from the Arlington Hotel at morning. And we were carrying food up to someone on the fourth floor. They wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't answer a knock on the door when I knocked. And it's my nephew, 53 years old. We opened the door, and there was such peace in the room. You know, if you're sensitive in the spirit, you can enter a house and even tell. I have been able to, I'm not boasting or bragging, since I was real young, whether there's demon power there or the peace of God. It's there. It's not your imagination. It's not you critical of another believer. None of that. Has nothing to do with that. Sometimes your own mind, you just say, this couldn't be true. Usually just keep your mouth shut and it'll work out, and you'll find out sooner or later that the Spirit is always correct. So we opened the door, and there was Tim, my nephew, lying face down on the floor, his head turned sideways, his feet out straight, and he's lying on his stomach, peace of God on his face. I slipped over, knelt down, called his name, felt his body, and I could feel the warmth still in his body. I touched his neck. There was no pulse, no breathing. Not a desperate action. I tried to revive his breathing, but paramedics came and they said he's been dead for quite a while. I said, his body's still warm. And I didn't know this. I don't know the length of time. I've been in hospital rooms by the dozen. I've had people in my arms that died. It's pitiful, little child or little baby. And I've seen the old die and been there with families. How many times I wouldn't even be able to even estimate down through the years of ministry. But he did not respond. His body's still warm, but they said he'd been dead. But the most amazing thing, he's been struggling with many things in his life. But Brother Glenn, I'm not imagining the peace of God was upon him. And the peace of God was in that room. It's just glorious. Back in December, my brother-in-law, and some of you know him, Lewis Davidson, he pastored here at the Gospel Temple for my dad and mother a while back 40 years ago. He told his family in Florida after ministering about 50 years, he's in a health crisis, he said, don't pray to keep me here, I want to go home. Well, his desires were answered, God took him. A little bit before that, my brother Rex on Vaughn Kapoor, Yon Kapoor, well, he had 2.5 hours yet before that Hebraic historic day would pass, but such a peaceful homegoing. It's glorious to be in the presence of a child of God if necessary and death comes. It's a lot different. I've seen them clench their fists back in old days in oxygen tents, curse God and die. look like a brutal, wild monster. But when my brother passed, now he told Rex Jr. and Donnie and Liz and Charlie, he said, "Don't you artificially keep me alive." Some of the people here in Hot Springs, I think even Cheryl Reagan, God bless you, Cheryl, it's good to see you, and good to see Ken. And now, what's your name? Yeah, I know Wade. And a few others here. Gwen here, God bless you, honey. And Jill, we appreciate it. And don't feel bad if I... Oh, there's Jean. God bless you. And Abigail. And who's back there smiling? Glenn. God bless you, Glenn. It's good to see you. And if any others, don't feel offended, but you know you're always welcome at the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and you have a wonderful, 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 compassionate, humble director that God has given you. You appreciate him and pray for him. Love him and lift him up in every way that you can. Amen. But my brother said, "Don't y'all artificially keep me alive." And they said, "Well, Dad, we love you." He said, "No." And I think it was Cheryl, after my brother passed away, she said to me, when she said, "Did y'all have the urge to raise him from the dead?" Well, that's a legitimate question, or whatever she asked. I said, "No, Cheryl, because he said, 'Don't keep me alive. I've been with Jesus. I've seen him. I've talked to him. And I don't want anything on this world anymore. I'm ready to go, and I'm anxious to go.'" Well, God took him at his word. But man is faced, ever since in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, God told him what to do and not to do. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and God said, "The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." At that day, death entered. Spiritually, they became dead immediately. But physically, their days were numbered upon this earth. Before I say anything else, lest I forget, forget your calendar age if you're a believer. Forget it. Don't mention it. You have at least five ages. I travel across America, my family, and then finally by myself, three big giant semi-trucks and a tent that covered a half a city block. And then all the ministry on four continents twice. Then the huge temple in Ohio where I was 25 years. Still evangelizing all over the world. But I've never been to any place on earth where they're so calendar age conscious as right here. I've had total strangers yell on a parking lot, "Hey, hey, you!" And I just keep walking. "Hey, sir!" And I keep walking. Who are they yelling at? You, stay right there. Yeah. How old are you? Well, you asking calendar age, mental age, physical age, emotional age. You ever see any Christian grown up act like a spoiled brat 4 or 5 years old?
Amen.
You have an emotional age. But beyond that, you have a spiritual age. So by faith, just say, "Forever young." How old are you? Forever young. Forever young. Forever young. Now let me give you another. I'm going to get in some good stuff in God's Word here in a minute, but let me talk out a little bit to you. If you get up at morning, now I'm not boasting or bragging. I never knew what an aspirin tablet was till I was 19 years old. In military, on parade rest out on a hot field where there's 20,000 soldiers once a week, and army generals riding on horses or jeeps among them in that hot sun, especially. Now, at rest, that's all right. But standing at attention, I can't stand in the hot sun for half hour without moving. All at once, they're picking me up off the earth, off the ground. But in military service, they said, "Private, yes, sir, take these." I said, "Sir, may I ask what they are?" "They're aspirin." I'd never had an aspirin in my life, 19 years old. Quit dependent on medical science. It might get you out in sorcery, and sorcery is pharmacia, and that is pharmacy, that is prescription drugs. Now, I'm not belittling anyone, but our hope and faith, don't ever put your faith in medical science. God can use doctors. We don't fight doctors and nurses. I have a nephew in my family. I told you just about finding one dead the other day. But I have another nephew in Ohio that's a medical doctor, and he's doctor of the year, 29 years of age, and he didn't even know he's nominated to be. We have members of our family that are expert nurses. I mean, highly trained. I don't belittle. But there's nothing like the life giver if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. It'll make alive. It'll quicken your mortal body at Romans 8:11 and give it life. May I suggest it might work for you. Get up at morning, and if you can, jump out of bed. Don't start, "Well, where's my lumbago? Where is my pain?" Get up, and if possible, lift your hands and say, "This is a day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." And then start walking. Don't get to the rocking chair and, "Someone bring me my medicine and my cup of coffee." Good Lord, you're a believer. Believers have life. You're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. I don't care what you claim, how much you talk in tongues, how much you meditate and all the rest. If that Spirit of God is in you, let it quicken your mortal body. Make it alive. Make it alive. Make it alive. He can't do it if you won't believe. Now get up and praise the Lord. And the Bible said, Glenn says, "I can't sing." Everything he says is a song, but the devil has robbed us and we're in monotone. In the Garden of Eden, I told you, in heaven, you'll never say a word. In heaven, you'll sing. God created man to sing. And God himself, I told you, the old Bible, get a Bible 100 years old and go to Genesis 1st chapter and they have a subtitle. It says, the creation hymn of God. Those old timers knew the truth. God sang the worlds into existence. God said to Job, "Where were you when the stars sang together?" "Oh God, I don't know." Now get up and you start singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You start singing and walking. Make up your own song. You're just singing it, the Bible said, to yourself. And then put your foot down and put your heel first. And then spread your toes. Walk. Walk. I'll guarantee you if you'll do that, praising the Lord, for 50 steps, you'll feel resurrection life. And I know using the promises of God come this way and the benefits of God run you down. But I'll guarantee you as you do this and start praising God, you'll feel the resurrection start coming up from your feet all over your body, and you won't have one pain in any joint or any place. That'll all be gone. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to pop the pills. All you got to do is just say, "I am resurrection because Christ is resurrection." Well, Brother Clem, what are you saying? Well, you just stay with me. And do you all believe what I'm saying? Now, there was a sentence of death upon man. But did you know in Revelation it said, "And death shall be no more." Death. God said in Psalms 8, chapter And also in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou did visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower. I know people don't like me to preach this. Go to the original, than the gods. And did you not know that a theologian got a hold of me here a while back? And he said, Clement, don't make an excuse. I said, gods, little gods. But in the original, it didn't say that. It said, Elohims. God created us a little lower than God Himself.
Amen.
We're created in the image of God. Man wasn't created to die. He's created to live. No wonder Jesus said, if we believe, we'll never die. Jesus said, there would be a generation that comes that won't pass away till He returns. You believe it? Did you not know in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 when it says, I pray that your soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord? Did you not know that in the original, the verb used there shows that the subject is one subject, not three? Man is a spirit possessing a soul, inhabiting a physical body in the spiritual side and from God's side, and inspiration of the Holy Spirit given the written word of God. You're not three, you're one person. And He didn't say, I pray God you'll have victory in the Spirit. Praise God till the coming of the Lord. He said, soul, spirit, mind, and body, or soul, spirit, and body, be preserved. How many believe your salvation is preserved?
Amen.
Well, how many believe your body is preserved? Yeah. Jill, I spoke a little bit like this about 5 years ago, and it got out some way in downtown that I'm speaking here. And so some of the old friends of the Humbards came out. And if I remember correctly, most of them were seated right through here. We had, 15 or 20 people that normally don't come, but all of them were local. I was glad to see them. But on this second row here was Inez Barron, that all, a lot of us know, and some of the others, and they're up pushing 90.
They're in their
90s. So I was preaching. I got happy and I was preaching. They said, well, what about us? I said, they answered back. I like that. When an audience gets in it and it going your way. In fact, especially overseas, in Bible colleges and seminars, seminaries, I welcome anyone, anytime, to break in and speak or ask me a question or add to it or even oppose me in the Spirit of Christ. I invite it. But if I'm speaking on resurrection life, I tell them, don't some ignorant nut get up and say, what about that ten-toed kingdom in Daniel? No. I regulate and control it. It's got to be on whatever the subject is. So I welcome this. And I was preaching on resurrection. And not this sermon, but I was preaching on resurrection. They said, what about us? I thought, what? I went back. I said, what is it here? They said, what about us? She's 90 or 91. I'm 89. And she, how old are you, honey? 87. I said, what about you? I think you mothers in the faith ought to be preaching this more than any of us. If anyone ought to believe it, the old heads ought to be living it and believing it. Then I went and picked up my Bible. And I said, now, before I leave here, somebody please get me straightened out. I want you to take my Bible, Ken, and mark it every scripture under 30 age. Every scripture under 50 age. Every scripture under 70 age. The Bible said all the promises of God are yes and amen. Didn't say whether you're 70 or 80 or 90. Even medical science, church won't believe it. He mentioned it last night. 120 years. God had said 70, that's 70. Medical science, now you read articles every once in a while, medical science, so, and there's a lot of truth there. They said man is born to live at least 120 years in good health. Now, I'm not talking about dragging around and being a fossil. I'm talking about being quickened by the power of God, useful life. Bible said, according to thy
faith,
so be it unto you.
Amen.
And the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
And if you'll take the cursings and blessings in Deuteronomy 28, boy, we overlook something there. On down, you know, verse 45, 50. So, and it says this. You'll serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness, or you'll serve your enemies. That's what he said. Same thing in Joel. If you don't serve the... Oh, don't you hate to be around a grubby mob? Bellyacher. Did you know the children of Israel in the wilderness more were slain from mumbling and grumbling than ever worshipped the golden calf or adultery or anything else? Murmuring, complaining. Just bellyaching all the time. My dad used to take, some of you might have seen this, my dad would take once in a while, he'd take a big white cardboard or sheet of paper in the pulpit with him. Then he'd take out a pen and make a little black dot, make it large enough that people would see it. He'd hold it up and say, "What do you see?" "Well, black dot." "What do you see?" "Black dot." "Are you sure?" "What do you see up here?" That's all he could see. He said, "What about this big white piece of cardboard?" Everybody murmuring and grumbling and complaining. And when you hear their sorry, you try to match it a little, and then both of you go away feeling worse. People used to come to Mordecai Ham, and he said one particular lady would come to him all the time and say, "Oh," he'd say, "Well, God bless you." And she'd say, "How are you, Dr. Ham?" You know, he led Billy Graham to Christ. "God really blessed me with some of these. God put me with FF. Bosworth when I was young. God put me with Raymond Ritchie when I was young. And God put me with Dr. Mordecai Ham that led Billy Graham to Christ." And of course he is getting in his old age but still active. And you know what? Although he's Baptist through and through, eight generations of Baptist preachers all the way from Roger Williams in Rhode Island. He'd stand in the pulpit every service and say, "You have a Savior. You have a healer." He says, "I haven't missed a service in 55 years because of sickness and disease. I claim Christ's resurrection power in my body, and I am healed by His stripes. I'm healed." And I'm not trying to slur anyone, but normally in the cooperative meetings, the minister sitting on the platform, those Baptist brethren would, I wish Ham would stay off of that healing stuff. Someone might classify us with this group and that group. They used to have an old song they'd sing at camp meeting. One of them, praise God, I'm one of them. Brother, if they're going to think you're a fanatic for trusting Jesus and getting all that God has for you, they're the loser, not you. Just keep singing. But you know, God said, if you won't serve me with joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And time again, I don't know about you, David, the Bible said David cheered himself up in the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing else cheered him, so he just cheered himself up. He said, if everything goes right, I could be happy. That's a lie. Anybody can act like a Holy Ghost person, everything going right. It's when things go wrong, go backwards. Friends forsake, like the song you sang a little while ago. The joy of the Lord is different than happiness. Joy of the Lord has nothing to do with what's happening on the outside. It has something to do with what's happening on the inside. And He said if we don't, and time again, I stop and say, oh God, fill me with joy. Your joy. And I don't know about you. I have to check up maybe a time or two a week. I say, God, keep me in the capsule of love. Fill me again with the love of God. I want the love of God. Now, Resurrection Power, she went into the hospital here. A lady was dying the other day, and she was in a diabetic coma, and they gave her no chance to live. She's in ICU. And you know, we shouldn't get too excited when God raises the dead or performs a miracle. That ought to be the regular thing that we experience. You know, we pray for 100 people, one get healed. Oh boy, we go into one. It ought to be right up. So we'll pray for 100 people and 99 of them get healed, and then we call a special meeting of deliverance or something and pray through why that other didn't get healed. So she went in the hospital. I sit in the parking lot and pray. Now, a friend had flown in from California, and the doctors had said here at National Park, Nancy will never get out of here alive. She'll go out feet first. The family's already making funeral arrangements. But here comes one of those crazy religious fanatics that doesn't believe all of it died out the apostles.
Right.
Doesn't believe in playing church.
Right.
Doesn't believe in religion. And goes in there, prays a prayer of faith. And you know how all these, whose report you're going to believe? When they diagnosed me with cancer, y'all forgive me. Lord, I don't want anyone to misunderstand that, because this is not an arrogance. We went out in the parking lot and got in the car. And I mean, they showed everything, you know. This, that, and the other. They invaded my body to prove all this. X-rays and all the rest. We went in the parking lot, looked at each other, armed up, and laughed for a half an hour. Whose report are we going to believe? Clement, you're a nut. Yeah. My dad, when they called him a nut, he said, thank God the devil can't turn it. So she goes in and prays a prayer of faith. They don't have to be conscious. Usually if they're in an iron lung or not conscious, God is so merciful to me. Even if He takes them, while I'm quietly praying, they awaken. And that gives a chance to be sure that their heart is right with God. And sometimes I get them quote just John 3:16 to say, whosoever believeth, that's you, that's me. We believe. Yes, yes. I believe, Brother Clement. And I've seen doctors stand and nurses and an iron lung. I've seen this twice in the same hospital. They start weeping because they saw the power of God wake that person up without anybody calling or yelling or shaking or even touching them. And they stand there weeping. So she goes back the next day and she asks, is the lady still in ICU? And she says, no. She said, not in there. Well, you know, an earthly fear could say, see there? She died. No, they said, she's in room so-and-so. She went up to that room, the lady's sitting up laughing and praising God, completely delivered. So, now let's get something real straight. If you and I don't serve the Lord with gladness and joy, He said your enemies will have dominion over you. And let me mention these simple little things because it leads to my sermon. I know I quoted these last time I spoke here. But 28:45 Deuteronomy, and there's others, there's three or four more that can be confirmed, but we're going to move along. All right. The first enemy, God's enemies are our enemies. See, you have no right to have an enemy on this earth. You don't. You love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you, persecute you, and so forth. Now, they're not an enemy to God. God loves them. God loves them. So we have to love them. All right, but God's enemies, my enemies. The church of Jesus Christ is going to have resurrection power when we put our enemies under our feet. I quoted, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast visited him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the gods. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory." That's another thing. God won't share his glory with anybody. Read your Bible. That is error. Isaiah 42 and 48. God said, "I won't share my glory with these crazy idols here, hewn out by man." Then again, the last chapter, he said, "I won't," and he didn't say, "I won't share my glory with any other man." It didn't say that. It said another heathen god. The other chapter in Isaiah 48, it said that God, read the whole chapter. He's speaking of his people, the Israelites. And he said, "Though they are stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, I will not share my glory with another heathen nation. I'm not going to pick up another one. I'm sharing it with this one, regardless of it." The Bible said in Psalms 84:11, "God, the Lord, will give grace and glory." It's a misnomer to call this the age of grace. It's not. It's the age of grace and glory. Amen. Satan has slipped another deception in on the church and robbed us of the glory of God for 2,000 years. "Oh, brother, you ought to be trimmed down a little." No, you better get in God's Word. Who you are in Christ and who He is. How many believe the Lord Jesus Christ? John 17:22. In this great, this is the true Lord's Prayer, John 17th chapter. He looked up, "Father, give me the glory that I had before the foundation of the world." And Father, and he continues praying. He prays five prayers. And every minister in Hot Springs says he prays five prayers for unity. He does not. He prays five prayers for oneness. Unity is one thing. It's man-made. It is, and nothing wrong with it. Fellowship to fellowship. Unity. Becoming acquainted. But he's not praying for unity. He is praying for oneness. Oneness when you become one with Christ, one with God, and meet someone else that's one with Christ, you are one. You're one in essence. You don't have to force anything. You don't even have to get acquainted. When we met Carla, it's like we knew her all our life. When we met Miss Harding, Miss Bernadine, we knew her in when we were a young teenager. But it's like we don't even have to re-get acquainted. We're already acquainted. We're one in Christ. It's one in essence. Now, the first enemy, though, to become under... Here, let me finish that. Look at John 17:22. Someone stand and read it with a loud voice, please. Now, this is the words of Jesus, not Clement. Okay? Some of you are stunned. Come on. Open your mouth and don't differ with me till you hear everything you say. Dear lady.
"And the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one."
Amen.
Thank you. Jesus said, "Father, I'm giving this glory to my disciples." If God doesn't want man to be crowned with glory, why did He mention it in Psalms 8th chapter, verse 5. Why did he mention it in Hebrews, the second chapter, down, I believe, about verse 9? He said, God created man and crowned him with honor and with glory. The devil took the crown off because man, off of man, and God couldn't leave the glory there because of sin. How many can see it? 2. Thank you. 3. 4. Thank you. First enemy is sin. He that knew no sin, Christ, became sin, the principle of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might become what? The righteousness of God. The church and a believer's got to get underfoot. It said, God placed all things in subjection under man. You're not supposed to be dominated by sin. Put your foot down on sin. Well, I'm just a poor little worm in the dust and the flesh. The Bible said, if you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. Now, don't lie to God's Word.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.